Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 12th, 2014. I hope all you moms got appreciated and loved up yesterday. We thank God for you. And I hope you enjoyed all the special Mother's Day music, poems, scripture verses, and the various ways we tried to honor you throughout our broadcast yesterday. So happy Mother's Day, moms. For the next three programs, today through Wednesday, you're in for a real treat. As you may have learned last week, I was invited to attend a special talk given by a follower of Jesus who's been under death sentence, a fanatical Muslim who was living in Iran, gave his life to Christ, and as I heard his story, I thought he has to come to the home studio and be introduced to our Great News Radio listening family. So for the next 3 days, you're going to hear our recorded conversation in its entirety as he and a friend spent about an hour, hour and a half in the studio, and I know you'll be blessed by what he shares and says. His buddy and co-laborer, Daniel Scalf, whose ministry headquarters is out of Atlanta, Illinois, but he's currently serving in Greece, and his outreach is to Muslims and various refugees. Daniel will introduce Farzad, and I won't share his entire name, because of various death threats he's received because of his conversion to Christianity. I'll mention this again at the end of the broadcast, but you can find out more about their ministry work at 222ministries.org, and that's the number two, 222ministries.org. Here's Daniel Scalf introducing Farzad.
Good morning, friends, and Great News Radio land here in Central Illinois. What an honor to be with Brother Mark. I just met him yesterday. What a fine broadcaster he is and fine stations you have here. I'm a missionary, and I serve in the Middle East and North Africa, Central Asia, among Muslims. I have met, a little over a year ago, what I believe is one of the finest men to ever come out of the Muslim world. Sitting beside us for the first time ever on American soil is my brother Farzad. His father and grandfather were Ayatollahs. He was a mullah. Memorized the Quran as a small child. Spent time in prison for the gospel. Has had his legs broken. He's got bullets in his body. Ribs broken. But most of all, he loves Jesus Christ passionately. And we are seeing in the Middle East one of the greatest harvests the world has ever seen. In his nation, just a few hundred believers a few years ago, 6 million Iranians have come to Christ. Please share Farzad and share with us today and share with these great people here in Illinois. God bless you.
Thank you, Mark, for giving me this opportunity to share my heart with the Great News Radio family. So, you know, I'm miles away from my back home, coming from Iran, and I believe God got some message for this great family. As my brother said, I'm Iranian, and you heard so many things about Iran, mainly what you see on the TV, and most of them is not very good. You see all the shouting, the screaming, and all of those hate, and all of those anger. But the reality is different. In my country now, we have million and million people that come to the Lord. In a country which we don't have any missionaries, we don't have any Bible, we can't have even church, but we have a thousand and thousand every day they come to the Lord. Through the Jesus himself, through the dream, through the miracle, through the vision, and God himself now interfered in Iranian life, interfered in some fanatic Muslim people, and touching a heart and changing a nation for the God. And right now in Iran, from Iran, we're sending a missionary from Iran to the Afghanistan to pass this message of love of the God to the Afghan people. I was one of them. I was born in a very fanatic Muslim family. As my brother said, my grandfather is well-known and well-respected Ayatollah in my town. My father was following his footsteps, and before even I born, it was decided, it was arranged for me to become an Ayatollah Mullah or then gradually become Ayatollah. And from age 4, they used to wake me up early morning and try to teach me how to pray in an Islamic way. Before I go even to the school or what you call kindergarten, I went to the Islamic school and learning how to read the Quran, how to recite the Quran. And before I reached age 10, I could recite most of the Quran by heart. And that was my life. That was then I thought it was decided that was going to be my future. And not long after that, we had a revolution in Iran. The Shah, which it was a really rebel and free government, suddenly changed with this fanatic Muslim government, Ayatollah Khomeini. And by that time, I was in the army. And this came the message, we want to bring Iran and make it an Islamic country which we can export Islam to all over the world. I was excited as a young Muslim. Now, finally, we have Islamic State, and finally we can please God and do everything through the book of the Islam and through the Quran teaching. And not long after the revolution, we had a war between Iran and Iraq. We lost a million young men in that war. And I was an officer in the army then that time. And during one of the attacks, I was injured. And I ended up 6 months in a coma and nearly a year in a hospital. And when I came out of the hospital, I knew it. I knew it. God gave me another chance. And I wanted to please Him and I wanted to thank Him and give my second life to Him and serve Him as the best I could do. That's why I went back to my town. I become a very, very fanatic Muslim. I start praying and I start praying more than what normal people do. I start being awake during the night and praying and crying to the God. And I wanted to please Him. I wanted to do everything I could to please Allah. That was my whole focus. That was all my life. And I used to teach young children. I used to teach a teenager in a mosque. And then I was doing everything basically humanly was possible to please God. But more and more I did, I thought it's not enough. I need to do more. I need to do more to please Him. Because I wasn't sure if I'm pleasing Him. I wasn't sure if again I'd die where I'm going. And that caused me then a quite depression. And my father came to me and said, listen, there's a way. I'll send you somewhere, then you might get closer to the God. We have a sect in Islam which they believe by torturing a body and denying a body a material life, you will get closer to the God. And they live in a mountain, in a cave, and they go through the long-term fasting. They basically torture their body. I joined them. We had a very difficult life. We had, as I said, long-term fasting. We wouldn't eat. We were always praying and crying. We try not to sleep. If we slept, then we try to sleep on a broken glass to make sure we don't enjoy it. And maybe through all of this hard work, maybe we can please the God. But more I did, less I was sure if this is acceptable, if this is enough. And I wanted to do more. I wanted to just know that He's happy with this. And after a few months, I went to my so-called master or the head of that place. It was an old man. I said to him, I've been here, and as you see, then I'm doing, if it's not more than everybody, I'm doing all my best to please the God, and I go through all of these troubles. And I don't mind. I'm prepared to spend the rest of my life in here. I just need one sign, one word from the God to say, this is what I want, and this is why please me. Then I'll be here without even mourning. This old man is around 92 years old. He said, how long have you been here? I said, well, I've been here only 8 months. He said, listen, I've been here 75 years. I never heard anything from the God. He got very angry. And you come here after 8 months, you want to hear from the God. And he threw me out of that place. I went back to my hometown. I went back heartbroken. And I wasn't sure, how can I find out? I wasn't sure, how can I please God? I thought I never ever know if He's happy with me. I just do my best. I do everything I can. And one day maybe, I'll find out. I become again fanatic Muslim. I was active in a mosque. I was active in the army. I had around 600 soldiers. My job was purely was to teach them about religious. And I was doing more and more and doing everything I could. And one day I was reading one Islamic book, which is very clear. It was saying one of the way which you might gain a favor of the Allah is to convert a Christian or the non-Muslim to the Islam. And I said, wow, I'll find a way. Because in my town, we have a lot of Armenian Orthodox. And I told by converting a young Christian to the Islam, I please him. And maybe he look at me down as a favor. I went to my grandfather, I said, I want to do this. He was so happy, agreed. He gave me a lot of Islamic book against the Christianity. I went back home, day and night, reading it. But I couldn't find a solid argument against the Christianity. It was a lot of argument in it, but nothing solid to convince the young man and woman to become a Muslim. I started reading all the foreign book against the Christianity. Still, as a young man, I thought, well, I can do better. I can write something better against it and convince these people to become a Muslim. One day I decided to do that, I need to read the Bible. I went to my grandfather and I said, I want to read the Bible and find out, you know, more against Christianity. My grandfather has got very, very angry. He just, his neck is blow up. He's got red in his face and he starts shouting, "Do not touch that book. That's very, very dangerous book." And I believe, Mark, his Bible is very, very dangerous book. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's only true word my grandfather said about Christianity. I still tell the people, do not touch a Bible if you're not prepared to be changed. Mm-hmm. Do not touch a Bible if you're not prepared to your country and your society to get changed, your family to get changed. If you need a change, that's the only way you can get a change in your family.
A very dangerous book.
A very, very dangerous book. Thanks God I didn't listen to him as a young man, and I went and bought a Bible from Armenian shop. I got a Bible at home, and I went one evening, I washed up, and I cleaned myself in an Islamic way. I prayed to make sure I'm ready for this, touching this dangerous book. And I got a book on a table. I pick up two pieces of the handkerchief because I didn't want to touch that. And I opened the Bible for the first time in my life, and it came to John 4. The time Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. It was amazing. I read the verse, it says, it comes a time which is now. True worshiper, the worship of God with the truth and the spirit. Wow. Is that possible to worship a God with the truth and the spirit? This is what I've been looking all for it all my life. I try to worship a God with all my deed. I even try to beat up my body. I try to do the good works. I try to be in the front line in a war. I tried everything to worship him, but nothing. It was satisfying in me, and nothing I could, you know, I was reading, nothing satisfied the God except worshiping him in truth and the spirit. That was wonderful. I wanted that. But it was a problem. It doesn't say true worshiper worship a God in the truth and the spirit. It says true worshiper worship a Father in the truth and the spirit. And that made me so angry, Mark. That made me so angry, and I was wondering, I was just shouting and screaming, why this Christian, they call a God a father? Who they think they are? What give them a right to call a God a father? Do they understand who they're dealing with? Even our prophet, even Muhammad, he says, I'm a slave of the God. And now this Christian, they call a God a father. It made me so upset. It made me so angry. I threw the Bible on one side. I said, I never touched that book. I find the problem. I find the problem with the Christianity. This is it. I don't need to study anymore. They call a God a father. They call the Holy One, the Creator. They call him a father. That night I went back to the bed. I prayed to the Allah. I repented. I said, I never touched this. I went back to the bed. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up again, pick up the Bible. I wanted to know how to worship him with the truth and the spirit. And I started reading a Bible. It was absolutely strange. It wasn't just then telling people they can call a God a father. The way it was more crazy, it would tell them that you don't have to do anything. It was so simple. Just confess, repent, and believe. And is everything else is done for you? He paid it on that cross for you. Why they don't tell me to do something heavy? Why they don't this Christian they tell me to walk on my knee for 10 kilometers a day? That way I'll become saved. And that would make it much easier. I would become a Christian much more faster. But they're just saying, then I trust him, surrender to him, and confess and repent. That's it. I was reading during those days. I had a few months battle in my heart. I had the worst time in my life. I was crying. I was reading a Bible, throwing it away, couldn't pick it up again. I wasn't a good Muslim. I wasn't a Christian. I wanted to be a good Muslim. I prayed so many times and repented to Allah. These things start, this fire started in my heart. I wanted to know him more. But in the same time, it wasn't just me. The whole, my generation, it was in the questioning. For you, it might be difficult to understand, especially for the listener. As a Muslim, we are not just personally accountable. If I do something wrong, if I doubt Allah, doubt the Quran, or I do anything wrong, our teaching is in a 7 generation before us, they go to the hell. They're going to get punished. And that was scary. That was the heavy burden and heavy guilt on my back, you know. That's why I didn't want to give in. And one evening, I was with my friend in this shop. We were talking. I was training there. I was telling him about the Quran and stories in the Quran. And this man came to the shop and he had a cross on his chest. Then I said, well, this is the time. I started insulting this man after God. Later on, I find out he's a pastor of Assembly of God in Iran. I start insulting him and telling him everything, and I was waiting for his reaction. He turned back and smiled at me and said, you know, son, tomorrow we have a church meeting. Do you want to come? I said, yes, I'll come. And he just left. My friend looked at me and said, Father, you're going to the church tomorrow? I said, yes, I'm going to destroy that church. This is an Islamic country. I give blood for this Islam. We give so many martyrs for the Islam in this country. And now these people, they come and having a church in my town. These people, they come in and they're calling that God. We give blood to know him as just as a slave. Now they say they call him a father. That has to be a stop. But the reality was different, Mark. Reality was, I wanted to prove to my friend I'm a good Muslim. I wanted to prove to the Allah I'm still a good Muslim. This book hasn't changed me. But most important thing for me was I wanted to prove I'm a good Muslim to myself and stop this fire in my heart. He told me 9 o'clock the meeting will start. I wake up very early morning. I told if I go when the people are in a meeting, they won't let me to destroy the church. I better go earlier when nobody's there. And in the morning I wake up, I put my army clothes on, I put my boots, young man with the beard, and I got ready. I went outside the church. I waited to smash this church up. And nobody could stop me, Mark, because as I said, you know, I was the son of the Ayatollah. I was well respected in the town. I was an army man. I was hero of the war. And nobody legally touched me. In fact, they might just give me a tap on the shoulder and say, bravo. I waited, and this lady cleaner went to the church. And when I say church, we don't have a church like in Europe. We have a small basement, somebody's basement. Nothing from outside. It could even look like a church. And inside, it was just a small cross, wooden cross on the door, on the wall. Hey, that was it. Nothing important about it. Anyway, when this lady cleaner went in, I waited, and a couple of minutes later, I went to smash this church up. I put 1 foot inside the church. And the Holy Spirit came down on me. I went on my knee, man. I went on my knee and I started crying. I started crying and I crying. For the first time, Mark, I realized I know the God as a Father. I know the one, He loves me. It might sound so simple for some of you guys. You know, you grow up, believer or non-believer, you grow up with that knowing and knowledge God is your Father. But you take it sometime for credit. You just say, well, He is. Then you wake up for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, you're praying, or you're talking to this God as a Father. But for us, we always grow up to know He is a God, and I'm a slave. He's a master. I'm nobody. I have no importance for Him. And He's waiting every second to just punish me. Every minute He's watching me to find a reason to punish me. You don't know how great was that menace. I know it. The God was there. The Father was there and was holding me tight, and He was kissing me all over. And I never had that experience.
And I've heard and learned Allah is to be feared, if you will, right?
The first memory I have about knowing a God, I was only five and a half. My mother pulled me on the side and talked about the God to me. And, Mark, for 3 days, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw this horrible, you know, this nightmare of the God was coming with the fire, and He tried to punish me and punish my family and all of those, you know, image, you know, He was haunting me for the rest of my life. And whatever I did after that, it wasn't because I was loving Him, because I was scared of Him. Then I wanted to just make sure I escape from this punishment. You see, as a Muslim, we are an orphan. Spiritually, we are an orphan. We don't have a father. We have a master. I mean, if you look at it, you know, a slave always tries to do something not to gain the love of the master, because he knows he'll never be master be able to love him, but he wants to gain that pity of the master. He wants to make sure then he's not going to be punished. He wants to just make sure then the master leave him alone, basically. But having a love of the master is not even, he doesn't even dream about it. And I cried. And as I said, then I know it. I know it is hugging me. I don't know you guys, you know, you dear listener, when was the last time you had a hug? When was the last time you had this hug from loving father? Some of you had experience years ago. Some of you even had it in a few weeks ago. But the truth is, this Father, this God, He wants to hug you today. He wants to hug you every minute of the day. He wants to just be there, hold you tight, kiss you, clear your tears, and tell you, then, son, daughter, I love you so, so, so much. He's a lovesick Father. I believe when Jesus talked about this man, where the treasure, he find the treasure, and he went and sold everything to gain that treasure, he was talking about personal experience. Jesus gave everything. He gave His glory. He gave His everything He had. He gave His life and blood to be able to hold me, to hold Farzad, and be able to Farzad go and call Him a father. That was an amazing experience.
And yet at the same time, as much as God is loving and caring and compassionate and full of grace and mercy, the other balance that you had really well is He's holy and He's almighty and He's sovereign. And so sometimes we lose that respect and awe that God, though through Jesus is loving, He's also all-powerful and He's going to return.
For me, I've been outside the country now for 29 years, nearly 32 years. When I came out, and for me, it was so amazing, so upsetting, amazing, and I couldn't understand it, how the people take this God so lightly. And now we call Him a Father, but they have to realize that Jesus hasn't been changed. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Creator. He's the one who said, I am. He's the one who was from beginning to the end. He is the one who created heaven and earth. He's the same Holy God. He's the one who said to the Elias, with one word, come out. And He came out. He said to the stone, come down. And the stone came down. He's the same God. The only reason He allows to call Him a Father is through that blood He gave for us. That's only then we can't play with this God. It's the same God who said, I'm holy, be holy because I'm holy. Now, if we have a grace to call Him a Father, the fruit of that grace, He has to be holiness. He has to know, I'm going to the Father in Middle East. I don't go to my Father just, that's it. Appreciate my Father, appreciate His love, appreciate His power, and I go with respect and the love. For me, it's crazy to see in the West, especially, I've been every day in most of the countries, I see they're like a tailor-made Jesus. Then it just become like a coffee shop. How would you like it, Jesus, sir? Would you like it with grace? Would you like it then without judgment? Would you like it with holiness, or would you like it with holiness? How do you fit you? Just come, we don't want to offend you. We don't want to somehow hurt your feeling. We have to be very careful who we're dealing with, Mark. We're dealing with Holy God. You have to understand all of these prophets, all of these years, they were shaking. They trembled when they got close to this God. And they've never been closer to the God as me and you are. They've never been that close. They never dreamed to be that close to the God. And we try to short-sell Jesus. To just gain a few more people in our church, to gain a few more friends. But we have to understand, He didn't short sell us. Mm-hmm. He could find another way to just be friend with us. Mm-hmm. But He paid the ultimate price. The ultimate price. And we have to understand, even though it's not depends on our work, but we have to understand, through this grace, we have to understand who we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with the Holy Father.
So you're arriving early to this church, with the intent, you're going to disturb it, destroy it, mess it up. You're going to put down this God. You step in the doorway, and suddenly God's love and His care pours into you. What happened next?
Mark, for the first time, I felt...
Well, I'm going to jump in right now. We'll continue this story tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. You'll hear it all in its entirety, so it'll also continue into the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. To find out more to support this ministry outreach, you can log on to 22ministries.org. That's the number 2222ministries.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.